Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on war when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is terribly wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto to our children in school, teaching in our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. And I contend that this is a radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even went so far as to put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. Now, that's not separation of church and state. And there's at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments. The 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effects. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law or the Law of God or the Common Law or Natural Law or Karma or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. That's the place to start. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about war, but now it's time to talk about a solution. What are you going to do to protect yourself? You know, if you're in South Lebanon today, as the war is going into its 30th day or so, you're in a world of hurt. The Jews over there, the Israelis, say that any car that's moving, they're going to blow it up. They figure that you're probably a Hezbollah guy or a sympathizer. And they've got a point. You know, they didn't start this war. It was the Hezbollah guys that got the conflict started this round. But, you know, somebody has to start it. And if you ask the Hezbollah guys, they'd say, well, it was those Jews over there, those Israelis, they started it. They did this or that to me, and so we're real mad about that, and so here's what we're going to do. But meanwhile, back on the farm, you know, you're Joe Sixpack or Sally Housewife, and you get caught up between these two warring factions. Now, there's a least common denominator that comes in advance of all wars. There's plenty of warning in advance that it's coming. We knew that World War II was coming to the United States. Now, we didn't know the exact date, and we didn't know the exact format, but we knew it was coming. The war clouds were gathering over Iraq months before the United States attacked. War clouds are gathering over Iran and Venezuela today, boys and girls. So if you're living in Iran, you should be best prepared for war. If you're living in Venezuela, you're looking at regime change at the very least and war at the very worst. It's coming to a city near you. War clouds are gathering. But how do we know that? How can we tell? And if we get caught up in this war, what do we do to save ourselves out of it? Now remember, we covered this last time. When war comes, you're not going to save your wife, you're not going to save your children, you're not going to save mom and dad or aunts and uncles. At the very best, you're going to save yourself out of it. And there's a formula for doing that. And the formula is, I've got to practice all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments of Moses' soul covenant. That's what the rules require. You do that, and you'll live to be age 70. And if you don't do that, you may still live to be age 70, but you're going to weather the ravages of the war, and you may or may not survive it. That's the bottom line. War is a curse. War is a penalty. It's just as much a penalty on those that survive as those that die during the war. Those that die pay their penalty with death, and those that survive pay their penalty with bad memories. Bad memories and experience. Now, why is this war coming? Why is a world war coming on the world? Why is war coming to the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada? What did we do that would bring this war upon us? You know, the average Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, she's taking the kids to the soccer game, going to church, you know, every Sunday. And she's just sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. Surely God would not do that to us. I had a guy write me a letter one time. He's an Advent guy. And he said, I don't believe a word you're saying. Surely God would not do that to us. I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't do that to me. I deserved it. I probably still do. I don't deny my complicity in the criminal behavior that I've been engaged in for most of my life. I don't deny that I used unjust weights and balances and gave God the finger and practiced adultery, smoked white owl cigars, chewed. I never did chew. I tried chew in Copenhagen one time. That stuff was too nasty for me. I couldn't handle it. But I could smoke, I could drink, I could chase wild women. I did all of the above. And I don't deny it. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, when you're 19, you've got eternal life and you can fly your airplane under bridges and power lines. And when you get a little older, you wake up to reality. Well, I'm a little older now and I fortunately survived some of those crazy escapades of youth. And now I can look back on it and say, if I had that to do over again, I wouldn't do that. But I can't deny that I did do it past tense. Now, what am I going to do to recover? Well, why does God have a bitch with us? What is it that we did that made him so uptight that he says, I'm going to bring war down on you? Well, the answer is in Leviticus 26, verse 25. And he said, I will bring a sword. I will bring a war upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. That's the answer right there. I've got a bitch with you because you broke my law. You breached my contract. So it's penalty clause time. That's all we're talking about, penalty clause. Now, there's a lot of good guys out there. You know, there's people that you meet in life that are really pretty nice guys. I told you about my daddy. Now, my daddy was well-liked. He was a pretty nice guy. Everybody at the brass rail loved him. Now, that doesn't mean that God was too enthralled with him, but it means that he had a lot of good company. And my old dad told me one time, he said, you know, I'm probably going to hell. Probably going to hell. And he said, in the final analysis, that's probably not a bad place because that's where all my friends are going to be. And I just as soon be in a location, in a place where all my friends are going to be. Well, he was using his head. And from his point of view, from what he'd heard about religion, about immortal souls and so on, he concluded that, well, that's probably my just deserts. I looked at it and said, I'm not so sure that's where I want to end up. Over here in Matthew 7, verse 21, Here's Jesus. You know, remember sweet Jesus away in the manger? Well, here's what Jesus had to say. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's kind of a shock because the religious guy says, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. You know, that's what they tell me. If you believe in Jesus, you know, the switch is set and you're on your way to heaven. Not exactly clear what belief in Jesus entails, but whatever this belief in Jesus is, it sounds to be pretty simple. They tell you it's simple. All you have to do is believe. But Jesus comes along and says, well, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, you know, not everyone that says, oh, Jesus, you know, I love you today or whatever, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, there is an obligation of specific performance. Verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out devils? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? You know, fed a lot of Skid Row bums down at the rescue mission. And I'm sure Jesus is going to say, well, yeah, you did a lot of good things. You know, just because a guy goes out and does some good things, Al Capone went out and did some good things. He sent money to charity. You know, Osama bin Laden is very generous with money in giving it to widows and orphans. Osama bin Laden does a lot of good things. Unfortunately, killing 3,000 people at the Trade Towers was not one of them. That's the problem. You know, Al Capone is probably a pretty nice guy, and the people that he was giving money to, and the people that, you know, that he was helping and doing good things for, probably liked him. But I don't think the seven guys that were killed at the St. Valentine's Massacre was one of those things that was righteous in the eyes of the Eternal. And so Jesus says here in verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, the only guys that are going to be saying, oh, Jesus, haven't we done many works and cast out devils and done these wonderful works are the preachers. Truck drivers and carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and mobsters like Al Capone, they're not going to be coming up to Jesus and saying, oh, Jesus, haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? I can't picture Al Capone doing that. I don't think George Patton's going to walk into the judgment hall and get syrupy and sanctimonious with Jesus either. No, that's talking about preachers. You know, that sky pilot that you go in every Sunday to listen to. All right, so here in Leviticus 26, God tells us the bitch I've got with you is over the covenant. And then he comes over here in Matthew 7 and he says, now, a lot of you preachers, a lot of you righteous people, you know, are going to be saying to me in that day, haven't we done many wonderful and righteous works? And he says, I'm going to tell you, partner, right to your face, I never knew you. So we ought to take a look at these false prophets. And the place to start, I think, is in Ezekiel chapter 13. There's three chapters that deal with false prophets. You ought to be able to identify these guys. Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel chapter 34, and Jeremiah chapter 23. Three chapters that deal with lying, hypocrites, false prophets. I mean, the guys that are out here dressed as sheep, but are really wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen to this. Verse 1, chapter 13, prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Eternal came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say unto them, that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear you the word of the Lord. Oh, I'm in the name of Jesus. You know, these are the false prophets that he's referring to. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, and neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. You know, you got these guys running around here. Jesus says! You ever heard that? Jesus says. Then when you look it up, Jesus didn't say that. Billy Graham's great for that. He comes over and he says, the Bible says! You ever heard that? The Bible says? And then you look it up, and then you find out the Bible says exactly the opposite to that. I showed you that the last time, you know, with immortal souls and inherited sin in Ezekiel 18. You go and listen to these lying false prophets, and they tell you, well, you got this inherited sins, and you got to join this church and go through these rituals over here to cleanse yourself of these inherited sins that you got from Adam. And then they tell you, you got this immortal soul. See, and when you die, you're going to go to heaven, be with Jesus on streets paved with gold. And here's God. He comes along, Jesus, you know, he comes along and he says, no, that's not so. The soul that sins, it shall die. Souls die. That's what the Bible says. Preacher comes along and says, oh, no, souls don't die. Souls are immortal. You have this immortal soul in your body dies, but then your soul goes to heaven to be with Jesus. And they tell you this, these lies, and the Messiah says very plainly right here in Ezekiel, he said, I didn't send them. So you got a bunch of people out here that God hasn't sent. Now you're going to sit there and say, well, how do I know he sent you? He didn't. I didn't come to you and say, Jesus has sent me. And I said, I'm a reporter, and I'm just here reporting facts. So I looked up these facts in the Bible, and I'm here to report to you that there's a bunch of people out there that are saying things, and they're telling you it comes from the Bible when in fact it doesn't come from the Bible. The Bible says exactly the opposite. They told you that Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus said, I'm a man of war, and I came to bring war. Now you got these false prophets that come along here saying, oh no, you're going to have peace. Okay, if you people want to bet on peace, get after it. But I think you better be preparing for war, because that's what he told you here in the scripture. So you got to choose between, you want to listen to the preacher or you want to listen to God. That's a choice that you make. Eve had a choice to make and she made a bad choice. Saul had a choice to make and he made a bad choice. That's all. Now you've got a choice to make. I hope you make the right choice. But if you make a bad choice, don't get mad at God. Just climb under the covers, and when you make the bed, sleep in it. He says, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I'm against you, says the Eternal. God says, I'm against those lying false prophets, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. And they shall not be in the assembly of my people, and neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, and neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. So now you lying false prophets out there that get up in the pulpit every Sunday and lie and tell these lies to your parishioners. Here's your God now telling you, I didn't send you, and you're a lying hypocrite, and I'm going to blot your name out, and I'm going to blot out all of your writings. And you're going to say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And your Lord is going to say to you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, there's the message. I didn't write that, by the way. I'm just a reporter. I said, Lemmy, bring you the report. You can do with it as you please. If I was a preacher, I would change occupations right away. If I was a preacher, I think I'd change occupations. He says, because, in verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, that's a defense, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub the wall with untempered mortar that it shall fall, And there shall be an overflowing shower, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Eternal, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Now this wall is your military defense, and you Israelis, you depend upon your army, which ain't quite as good this round as it has been in the past. And it shouldn't be anything surprising to you, because in the past there have been wars in which your God fought for you and destroyed your enemies in short order. And then there are other times when your God did not fight for you and your enemies overwhelmed you and consumed you. Now pay attention, because that's about to happen to you again. It's happened to you in the past. It's going to happen to you again. That's why I suggested maybe it's time for you, if your nation isn't going to repent, maybe it's time for you as an individual, maybe to think about, well, geez, maybe I ought to change my lifestyle a little bit. Maybe not a whole bunch, but maybe a little bit. Now he goes on a little bit further over here, and he says, so I'm going to break down the wall that you've daubed with untempered mortar, that's verse 14, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, and neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Now, you know, you got all of these evangelicals over here, you know, the supporters of Israel, and those that are preaching this peace thing over here in the Middle East, and peace and two states and all this crap. Well, there you got it, straight from God himself. In verse 16, he says, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace. There is none, has been none, and isn't going to be any. And your defenses over there are going to be destroyed, and your nation's going to be destroyed. Now, there will be some survivors out of it. There always are. When the Titanic sank, there were some survivors. When Israel is destroyed, there will be some survivors. When America is destroyed, there will be survivors. And I don't have much hope that the nation is going to change, but there is some chance that you might. So let's flip over here to Jeremiah chapter 23, another chapter that deals with false prophets. Now this is Jerry the prophet, and he says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Eternal. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Eternal, and I'll scatter the remnant of my flock out of all countries. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I'll set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, and neither shall they be lacking, says the Eternal. Behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will raise unto David's righteous branch, or David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Out of this, Judah is going to be saved, and so is Israel. Out of it, when the second coming occurs. Hey, boys and girls, second coming hasn't occurred yet. And there's going to be hell to pay between now and the second coming. That's the bottom line. In verse 14, he says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They're all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Now, there's your pastors and your preachers in America and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. They strengthen the government leaders who are the evildoers in their evil and wicked imaginations, in their wicked and evil doings. You know, Bill Clinton goes to church, carries a Bible with him, and listens to this lying false prophet up there who ought to be telling Bill Clinton, you know, or should have at the time, or George Bush, you know, hey, Georgie, let me tell you where the bear does it. You're not going to prosper in this war over here in Iraq. It's a crime. It's a criminal activity. You politicians, you know, who are lying and stealing and cheating through paper money and the Federal Reserve, the income tax, and Social Security and Medicare, and you that promise more and more drugs and more witchcraft. That's what drug addiction is witchcraft. You know, somebody ought to stand up and tell these guys what they're doing, but nobody does. And the prophets out here scatter the people. Oh, those drugs are good for you. You go to the doctor and take more drugs and sign up for Social Security and Medicare. And send your boys over to fight and make the world safe from those dirty terrorists over there. In verse 17, he says, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said. Who despises God? They, the preachers. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. They tell you, you're going to have peace. That's not what the God of Abraham says. He says you're going to have war and a whole bunch more of it. And why are we going to have war? We're going to have war because God is going to send it upon us. And why is he going to send it upon us? To avenge the quarrel of his covenant. We are in breach of contract. That's why he's going to do that. And it isn't what he's going to do. He's already doing it. Now that's Jeremiah chapter 23. Now in Ezekiel 34, there's a little bit more to be said. Ezekiel 34. Three chapters here. I'm just kind of skipping around, hitting the highlights for you. You can read the three chapters for yourself. I'm sure you're a big kid. In verse 1 here, false prophets. See Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 13. And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You know that Jerry Falwell makes $100 million a year. Jim Baker, $100 million a year. Jimmy Swaggart is out dinking around with whores, practicing adultery. These prophecies identify these exact evangelists and preachers who are lying hypocrites, false prophets, and the people of America and Canada and Australia and New Zealand follow right after them. God, we love them. If we didn't love them, how else could they be making $100 million a year? We have to be sending them a lot of money, don't we? He said, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool and you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, and neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there's no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. And yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, all you preachers out there, listen up. Hear the word of the Eternal. He says, as I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and because my flock became meat to every beast of the field, And because there was no shepherd, and neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and they fed not my flock. Now, you know, the Catholic Church over here, you talk about shepherds feeding themselves. I mean, that's a multi-billion-dollar worldwide operation. I mean, that church has got more money than they got good sense. And they feed themselves, and they live very deliciously. That's the word used in the Scripture, deliciously. He says, therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, and neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not, be meat for them. Remember, Smedley Butler said that war is a racket? Well, medicine is a racket. And religion is a racket. And God identifies them, tells you just what they are. But you know, we wouldn't have it any other way. We love war and we support it. We pay our taxes and we're all in favor of war and defense spending and more of it to protect the people of America. And we're in favor of the medical establishment. We love it. And we watch ER every week with rapt attention. And we spend $500 billion a year on cancer. And we march on polio, and we march on cancer, and we donate money to them. And we love religion. 65% of us go to church every Sunday. We support religion with hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And all three of them are rackets, and they're ripping you off. And God says, I'm going to put an end to that crap pretty shortly. Verse 23 says, I'll set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. So there's a time coming when these lying false prophets are going to be put in their place, but not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. They're in charge, they're in power, and they're going to continue to be. Now, if you want to follow after him, get with it. And if you want to change, then it's time to come out of her. And Revelation 18:4 tells you, come out of her, my people. Back off. Quit giving me the finger. It's time for you to wake up, smell the coffee, and start performing on the terms of the contract and save yourself out of this great tribulation. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder. And we'll be back with more on war and peace right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order that package, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Down in Austin, Texas, I've had a number of inquiries about conducting a tax and status school down in Austin, Texas. If you're one of those that called, or if you haven't called and you're interested, tax and status sometime in September or October Call us here at the Law School. Remember that number, 417-273-4967. Now, attendance is limited. And when I do these schools on the road, and you know, there's not 50 or 100 spaces in here. There's 10 spaces. And if you want one, then you need to speak up, speak now, or wait until the next time after that or that. Now, I don't go out on the road very much anymore. I'm getting old and full of years. I used to do a lot of traveling and a lot of schools in cities all over the United States. I probably do it once or twice a year now, kind of as a diversion. Once in a while, I like to get away from the farm, spend a week or two away somewhere, and this is a good opportunity for me to take a vacation. And since we've had so many inquiries from Austin, Texas, I said, well, let's go to Austin, and I'll run down to San Antonio and look at that Alamo thing down there and dink around Texas for a week or so. And so if you're interested, or even if you're not interested, just curious, give us a call here at the law school and ask us about that school down there in Austin, Texas. We'll tell you all about it. All right, talking about war and peace. Now, what are you going to do to save your hiney from this impending war problem? Well, God has a lot to say about it, and a lot of it's pretty good. Now, he gives us some warnings and some good information, so if you got a pen and paper, I'll just tell you what the scriptures are, and you go take a look at them. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, he tells us to beware, lest you forget the eternal. Deuteronomy 8, 14, he says, don't forget me. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, he said, remember me and don't forget. Well, let me flip over here to Deuteronomy 8. Here's three scriptures where he says, you want to remember me. Now, we have not only forgotten God, we have thrown him out of school, thrown him out of our public institutions, and when we have a chance to vote, we vote the school board out if they have anything at all about God or the Bible to present in our public schools. We'll have none of it. All right. Well, now those people have spoken, and they certainly have a right to their opinions, and they certainly have a right to make those decisions. I'm not here criticizing the people in Kansas and Pennsylvania for kicking God out of the public schools and putting evolution in its place. It's a part and parcel with freedom of choice. And those people want freedom of choice, and by God, they've got freedom of choice, and they made their choice. Now, let me tell you what the consequences of the choice is going to be. Because this God over here, this junkyard dog type God in Deuteronomy chapter 8 sends you a message kind of loud and clear over here as to, and here's what I think. So in Deuteronomy 8, about verse 11, he says, beware that you forget not the eternal your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest, when you have eaten and you're full and you have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and we Americans have goodly houses and we're building bigger and better houses every day, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, and that he might humble you, and that he might prove you, to do you good at the latter end. And you say in your heart, my power and my might of mine hand has gotten me all of this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, because it is he that giveth you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God, and you walk after other gods, and you serve these other gods and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Eternal your God. Now we Americans, you know, we sit over here, we've not only forgotten God, we threw his hiney right out of our schools. Now, he said, now when you're living in your goodly houses and you go to your parties and you're sipping on that second martini and congratulating yourself and bragging to everybody else about how you made your money in oil or made your money in stocks or made your money in this or that or something else, that you don't forget God and don't forget His commandments and make sure that you remember where you came from because you were a slave in Egypt. So I just want to remind all you black people out there that all of us white people over here came from the same background. We too came from slavery. So don't think that you're the only ones that have that badge of honor. We've got it too. And he said, now that you've gotten all this wealth to yourself, don't think to yourself that I got this wealth because I'm so damn smart. You remember it came from me under the terms of our contract. All right. And so now you want to vote God out of your public schools and you want to put evolution and the 10 planks of the manifesto in its place and take the 10 commandments out. That's fine. It's a choice that you make. But remember, he said, you will surely perish from off the good land. Now that's the end result. Now if you don't want to perish from off the good land, then you need to make a meaningful change and make it right away. Now I went through Ezekiel 13, 34, and 23. I'm going to circle that one off. This guy, Ezekiel, now, was sent to Israel. And the guy called the other day and he said, you know, I'm tired of you misleading people talking about Israel and Judah and all this and that and another thing. And I told the wife, I said, I'll make a comment on that. If you disagree with anything that I say here on the air, I don't care. I don't begrudge you that. And I get paid for delivering information. You know, I'm just kind of like a reporter, you know, that digs out the facts, delivers the story. Here's the story. You like it? Fine. If you don't like it, that's no skin off my back. And if at any time I become offensive to you and you don't like what you hear, turn the radio off. That's what I would do. Hell, I'd turn it off. I wouldn't listen to that crap. But over here in Ezekiel, right up front, I think I got it marked here, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, about chapter 2, I think it is, something like that. And this guy Ezekiel was sent to the Israelites, not to the Jews now, he's sent to the Israelites. Yeah, it's chapter 2, verse 3, says, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. All right, so I'm, again, just reporting. If you think that you haven't rebelled against God, well, terrific. When you get into the judgments, hey, boss, I've been obedient, followed your directions, and now I'm here to collect my reward. All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, in Isaiah 3, verse 2. Here's a little story here for you ladies out there. Flipping back here to Isaiah 3, verse 2, he had a little something to say about women voting. You know, and so some years ago, we decided that the women needed to vote. Actually, the women decided that they needed to vote. And in Isaiah 3, verse 2, he says, the mighty man in the, excuse me, 3 verse 2, is that what I got here? Verse 4, he says, and I'll give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning officer and the eloquent orator. I'll give them children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. Now, the Eternal, verse 14, will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and with the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyards, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Almost reminds me of of this, what do they call it, ET, Entertainment Tonight, you know, after the news, ET comes on. And you've got these Hollywood starlets over here that wouldn't venture to set the sole of their foot upon the ground. That's what we Americans have turned into. And in verse 12, he says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err, and they destroy the way of your paths." Children are your oppressors and women rule over you. Let's hear it for women. They need more vote, don't they? Now, we've got a thing here called fenced cities and a fenced brazen wall. You'll see that in Jeremiah 5, verses 1 through 6. Now, Jeremiah comes along and says, listen, a little hope here for some of you soccer moms and some of you Joe Sixpacks out there. Jeremiah 5, verses 1 through 6, he says, concerning fenced cities. A little good news for a change. He says, "Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executes judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it." I oftentimes make that observation. Hey, if you can find anything like that, send me an email, will you? Let me know about it so I can broadcast it all over the world. "And though they say, the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have not refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Therefore I said, well, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor of the judgment of their God. I'll get me unto the great men, and I'll speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities, and every one that goes out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased." And he goes on to say, "How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods." You ever notice that when we go into the military, we raise our right hand and we swear this oath? How come you're swearing an oath when in Matthew 5:33, I believe it is, through 37, tells you to swear not at all? And it's swearing that oath that made you a soldier in the army. Yes, sir? In order to become a soldier in the army, you have to raise your right hand and swear an oath to Baal, which you are prohibited from doing by Jesus himself in Matthew 5:33. He told you, swear not at all. But then again, that's normal for religious people, because if Jesus told you to stand up and swear, you wouldn't. And if he told you, don't swear at all, you will. "And to these that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Eternal, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" Just ask yourself, fellow Americans, do you think that when God avenges himself on the wickedness and evil of this nation by bringing us war, you're going to blame him for your breach of contract? You're going to blame God? Well, get after it. But remember, this guy says, "I'm going to repay you to your face, live and direct." Here's another little story here, the brazed wall, Jeremiah 15. Gives us a little good information here. 15:19-21. Jeremiah 15, verses 19-21. He says, "Therefore, thus saith the Eternal, if you return Then will I bring you again, and you shall stand before me, and if you take forth the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return unto you, but return not thou unto them. And I will make you unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you, says the Eternal. And I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of his hand, the hand of the terrible. When this war comes down, you want to be practicing this law. And God said, I will protect you from it. I've got a brazen wall over here. Now, a wall is a defense. I got a defense. Now, of course, your preachers are telling you, well, you don't need to practice the law. You know, Jesus nailed that wicked, terrible, awful old law to the cross and took it out of the way so that you'd have license to go to the party tonight, so that you can neigh after your neighbor's wife. Let me circle that one off. Now, remember in Isaiah 45:7, God tells you, I make peace. And in Isaiah 48:22, he says, there is no peace to the wicked, and repeats it in Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace to the wicked. Now, if you violate the law, you're wicked. If you practice the law, you're righteous. If you violate the law, then there will be no peace for you. Now, that's the bottom line. In Isaiah 59:8, he says, the wicked shall not know peace. Now, George Bush, Tony Blair, and Mr. Olmert over in Tel Aviv, they all talk about peace. And they're just longing for the day when we can have peace, you know. Now, these guys don't know the way of peace. They can't bring you peace. They can bring you war, and they're going to bring you more of it. And if you get caught up in it, you could get killed in it. And if you're in violation of the law, there's a greater chance of you getting killed. If you're practicing the law, there's no chance of getting killed in any war at any time, because God himself has a contract with you, and he said, I will honor that contract to 1,000 generations. That's 40,000 years. A lot longer than he's programmed for this entire 7,100-year program. In Deuteronomy 12:10, he says, I will give you rest from your enemies. In Exodus 23:22, he says, I will be an enemy to your enemies. In Exodus 23:27, he says, I'll make all of your enemies turn their backs to you. In Deuteronomy 25:19, he says, I will give you rest from all of your enemies. And in Proverbs 16:7, he says, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. All right, now those are pretty important scriptures there. Let's think about them for a minute. Proverbs 16:7. You know, we used to have a time when our enemies were at peace with us. They might not like us, but they weren't out trying to blow up our airplanes. And I was watching the news last night, and these Al-Qaeda boys, they decided that they were going to bring some nitroglycerin or something on board the airplanes. They figured out a little scheme for it. They had an undercover agent in there with them, fortunately for our guys, and uncovered their plot. But just goes to show you, they intended to blow up 10 or 15 airplanes. Big ones. They were going to get on 10 or 15 big airplanes flying out of London and blow them up. Now, if they would have killed, you know, a couple hundred people on each one of them, and then maybe they could have torched them off, you know, over downtown Chicago. And maybe they could have killed another 100 on the ground or so. I mean, these guys play serious hardball, don't they? Now, there was a time when we didn't have this problem with them. Can you remember that? I mean, no, 20, 30, 40 years ago. They could have been doing the same thing, but they didn't. Now, either they didn't have as much reason to, or God was making our enemies to be at peace with us. Well, if he was making our enemies to be at peace with us in the past, how come he's not doing that today? What happened? And if he wasn't making our enemies to be at peace with us, then how come they got uppity and went to war with us? We're just talking about time and chance. Because here's Revelation, and he says, well, now, you know, if you want to know the answer to that, I'm going to tell you. And the reason that I'm ticked off is because you violated the terms and conditions of my contract. You took all the good things from me. You took your share. I delivered the goods and you didn't pay. And now I'm going to repossess. And then we talked about Ezekiel 14, if you all remember. And in Luke 2:14, in Luke 12, verses 51 through 53, and Matthew 10, verse 34, where Jesus says, you know, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. You know, that's kind of critical. Because you people have been taught, you know, Jesus is the King of Peace. Well, let's take a look at Luke 2:14, because that's what people are citing and quoting, you know. And they say, well, Jesus, you know, peace, peace. And there's one scripture in here that they cite. I've cited about 50 here for you, but there's one here in Luke 2, verse 14. Now listen to this. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Who said that? It was the angel. The angel. See, the angel goes over to these, just read the chapter for yourself. The angel goes over to these shepherds out in the field and he gives them a message. That's not a prediction for peace. That's not to announce the Prince of Peace. That's not to pronounce that there's not going to be any more war because Jesus came. That's not to say that there's going to be peace on earth because Jesus has been here. And the angel delivered him a message. And he delivered him a message of peace, and he said, now I've brought you this message. Jesus says time and time again that you're going to have wars and rumors of wars. And Matthew 24 is a real killer. Remember, that's a war chapter. The disciples come up to him. You ought to read this chapter. This one, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And his disciples come up to him, and they say, Jesus went out, verse 1, parted from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world or the end of the age? Well, boys and girls, that's where we're at. And then these wars that you see going on in the Middle East is just the tip of the iceberg, because he goes on to say, these wars and rumors of wars are the tip of the iceberg. He told us, don't be concerned about that, but boy, there's some big events that are about to transpire. And you boys need to make some big, meaningful changes. And if you don't, you will surely perish. Surely. He said, there isn't a doubt but what you're going to perish. When this whole thing plays itself out, boys and girls, 90% of the people living on this planet and drawing breath today will be dead. Not buried, just dead. 10% will survive. You want to be in that 10% of the survivors. To do that, you practice the law, and then you can be one of the survivors. Well, there we are. I'm out of time again. So let me give you that reminder that says you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you want more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Hey, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and good night, friends.